Chapter 33. I wanted to talk to my mother, or my husband Sloane. I had promised Ken I'd keep his secret, so I couldn't tell Pat or Jackie about him. I didn't want to discuss him with Cade, because Cade had never liked Ken in the first place, and would be doubly suspicious of him now. I couldn't even go next door to Miss Anne's, because this astounding news, that Ken was Uncle Javin's son, must not be common knowledge, at least for a while. So I drove to the old house place in town, the one I had shared with Mom and Dad until we left Edna Lee for Atlanta. The house was gone, but the sidewalk and the steps were still there. The oak tree in the backyard was there, too. The sun played hide-and-seek with the clouds, casting flitting shadows across the overgrown lawn as I got out of my car and walked to the back. Amazingly, remnants of my old rope swing still clung to a sturdy limb of the oak. The rope was frayed and gray, looking like it would disintegrate with the next strong breeze. I smiled, remembering the feel of the wind on my face as I flew through the air, higher and higher, up to the branches of the tree. How wonderful to be that carefree once again, to know nothing of grown-ups and their frailties. Who owned this place now? Dad had sold it when we left. Why did the previous owner tear the house down? Why did he or she just let the whole thing fall into such disrepair? Maybe I could buy it. Maybe I could rebuild the house. Perhaps I could rent it or just have it for a place to be when I felt as I did today, lonely and sad. Or was that a frivolous thought? Was I simply trying to hang on to the past when the past was gone? I hated to see this area neglected when it had been the home of the two dearest people in the world to me. I would talk to Daisy. Maybe she knew who it belonged to, and if they might be willing to sell. Wandering back to my car, I saw something half buried in the ground. Stooping down, I picked it up. A penny. And face up. I remembered an old saying from my childhood. Find a penny, pick it up. All the day you'll have good luck. Tucking it into my pocket, I smiled. It had been good to be here. Already I felt better, more hopeful. I planned to talk to Daisy right away. A movement caught my eyes and I glanced up. A figure stepped out from behind my car. My heart turned over and my breath caught in my throat. Mo Decker. Immediately I was mindful of the loneliness of the place. The street had always been a quiet one, and we had owned a couple of acres. The house was the last one on the block, tucked back among a grove of trees. No one was around. On the whole street, it was only Mo Decker and me. He grinned, not a friendly smile, but more of a grimace. So, we meet again, do we? And it's a nice, cozy little meeting, just you and me. Enjoying the day, are you? He asked. Swallowing my panic, I gulped. What are you doing here? How did you know where I was? Are you following me? He laughed. Well, now, why would you think that? Guilty conscience, maybe? I reckon it's a free country, and I got as much right to be here as you have. Just thought I'd say howdy and inquire about that dog you stole from old Rawl. I took a step back as he advanced toward me. I didn't steal anything from Rawl. He was mean to Ulysses, and I offered him food and a bed. Ulysses has a good home. His eyes narrowed. That's a lie. But then I've heard you have a few problems of your own now. Been sticking your nose in again where it doesn't belong, haven't you? Just can't keep out of other people's business, can you? Maybe I'd just better teach you a lesson. I knew that if I pressed my phone button for help, he would probably reach me before that help came, so I'd try to bluff him. Walking backward, I pulled my phone from its holster. If you come any nearer, I'll press this button. It's programmed to 911. You're a jailbreaker and a criminal. I imagine the police chief will be glad to find you. He paused, eyeing my upraised phone, probably trying to decide if he could reach me before I pressed the button. You in for now, he snarled. But just remember, lady, You'd better watch your back. You don't know where I'll be or when. And Mo Decker don't forget them who do 'em wrong." Turning on his heel, he slunk across the street and disappeared into the bushes. I pressed the button on my phone anyway. I would report him and hope the law would find him and put him away. This time, for good.